The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host. It is Monday, September 20th, and we are here to preview Monday Night Football from a gambling perspective. We're going to break down the Packers and the Lions game. Joining me to do so, Tyler Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, Will? How you doing?
I'm good. My voice is starting to come back.
Okay. All right. Yeah, a little raspy to start.
Yeah, the problem is I try to if I do enthusiasm, it's like basically being 15 all over again. I don't know, how old are you when your voice squeaks? 13, 15? I don't know.
That's about right. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Whatever. But 9 in my case. just kidding. I was pretty furry there. Anywho. You can check out the full week 2 recap. And of course we'll have Monday Night Football reaction. I can't wait to stay up until 1:30 in the morning, recapping another football game. Hopefully this one's better than the point spread indicates, but if you want to use your football expertise to win big time cash prizes, now's your chance with Football Pick'em from CBS Sports. Correctly pick the whole slate of games and you can win the $100,000 jackpot this week and every week of the season by visiting cbssports.com/picks. Even if no one wins a weekly jackpot, we're still giving away $1,000 of guaranteed cash to the winner each week and $5,000 to the season long champ. So don't wait, make your picks and compete for the $100,000 jackpot by visiting cbssports.com/picks today. So the Lions at the Packers. The Packers are -11.5. The over under 48.5. The Lions on the money line are +450, and the Packers on the money line -650. I think, Sully, this speaks to the expectations of a bad Lions team, and you know the probability and likelihood of the Packers, who looked like behind in week 1, bouncing back against a lesser opponent than the Saints.
Right. And that's, I think, exactly what it is. There's just a lot of confidence in the Green Bay Packers in the sense that they will be able to bounce back. And there really is a good amount of history to point to it, too. You look back at their past 9 matchups following a straight up loss, 8-1 against the spread. So they do have a history of coming back after these clunky kind of performances to begin the year. And honestly, I wasn't even really that surprised that they came out so bad in that opener. After that offseason that they had, it just felt like they weren't ready to go. Maybe that loss against the Saints was a wake-up call of sorts. They can kind of, recalibrate, get back moving into a more positive direction that they are more typically in. So to me, I do like them tonight. I do like them, even though you are laying a ton of points here. But I look at that Lions team, and I think, whoever was maybe taking the points is looking at it from a last week perspective to say, all right, well, they showed a little bit of fight against San Francisco. They had that ridiculous backdoor cover and all of that. But to me, I look at it more and say that they gave up 30-plus points at halftime, and Aaron Rodgers is going to come out with his hair on fire and try to really light this thing up.
Yeah, if you want to take the Lions +11.5, and I don't have a problem with that because that's a lot of points.
That's big.
Even on a primetime game against the reigning MVP on the road in a divisional matchup, I mean, the Lions, the effort is there. This is not some, dead fish. It's not some like dead fish laying on the beach, like washed up and just gave up on life, and like Jackson DeVille, who's just leaping off the stadium. The Lions under Dan Campbell, I think, at least for the early part of the season, are going to fight hard, are going to give effort. Maybe guys want to get traded away. I mean, who knows? But maybe that's a Texans idea. At any rate, there are two paths, I think, to the Lions covering. One, they score early. Like they come out DeAndre Swift, Hockenson, whoever it is. I mean, Jared Goff hits Quintez Cephas for a deep ball. They score early, and then you have basically 18.5 points to work with.
Yeah.
Now you can still, the Packers can still rip off 21 straight points. You can still lose that bet. Don't get me wrong. But if you can get the Lions scoring early and then it stays competitive and then the Packers win, and maybe they win by 10, maybe they win by seven, whatever it is. Maybe they win by three, and that's one path. The other path is the same what we had last week, where the Packers jump all over them, and then the Lions storm through the back door. The problem is, as you point out, I mean, the cover against the 49ers was kind of a miracle. They got an onside kick. There were four onside kicks recovered all of last year. George Kittle has great hands, and he botched an onside kick and allowed the Lions to score a couple of times. So I think you sort of have, if you, you're old enough to have seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Right. So you have to take the leap of faith. It's like, yeah. you have to step onto the, step out into the I guess it's just a crevasse, right? The invisible little tiny walkway. And you have to just say, okay, I hope there's something here. And you hope that you land on something. I have no interest in getting in front of the line, like getting in front of the Packers here. Yeah. Packers feel like a team that could, I guess I feel like it's more likely that the Packers come out and blitzkrieg the Lions in angry fashion after playing so poorly last year than it is that the Packers are just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, that's exactly how I look at it. If we're trying to find another way where Detroit maybe hangs in this, it would have to rely on Aaron Rodgers just not being good. And it's really a surrounding around AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones and DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. Like, those are the names we're going to have to hear all night, where it's running the football, you're keeping things slower, nothing's really popping off like crazy. Like, Jared Goff doesn't really have that guy that he can take over the top of the defense, consistently. And if it's a quiet night for Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, that's another way where it kind of gets close, even though Green Bay could still come out and obviously win this game.
The other problem is, too, I don't know that the way you beat the Packers and just beat them down is do what the Saints did. You get this lead and you sort of squeeze them on defense, and then they do this once or twice a year. They just sort of check out. They're like, all right, we're pulling Rodgers. This game's over. Rodgers is throwing interceptions that just don't seem like he cares about anything. I just can't fathom a situation where that happens in this particular matchup, because the Lions deep, you can score on the Lions defense.
Yeah.
And this is a divisional game. And if the Packers lose this game at home to one of the worst teams in football, in theory, on Monday night in Lambeau, in their home debut, there will be outcries. And so it just stands to reason that they are going to come and potentially bring the thunder here.
And another thing to note, too, with the Lions, right? Jeff Okuda's out for the year. So, I mean, again, hasn't been particularly great throughout his career at this point, but he's going to be out for the season. He was a former number three overall pick for them just, not too long ago. So that is another kind of thing to look at and say, well, that secondary was already bad, and now theoretically they're losing their most talented guy. Again, hasn't lived up to that draft status yet, but you have, less men in that secondary against Aaron Rodgers, a mad Aaron Rodgers trying to right the wrong from last week. To me, it makes all the sense in the world that there could be a big game for Green Bay.
In terms of injuries, Michael Brockers questionable, had limited practice on Saturday. Trey Flowers questionable, limited practice on Saturday. Khalif Raymond questionable, limited practice on Saturday. DeAndre Swift questionable still, but full practice on Saturday, so he should be good to go. Kevin Strong, Tyrell Williams are both out with concussions, and it looks like that's about it for them. Lucas Patrick and Darnell Savage for the Packers are listed as questionable with limited practice. Vernon Scott out, Josiah DeGuara out. So not a ton of injuries for the Packers. It looks like they're going to be at pretty full health. And you mentioned with Jeff Okuda, I mean, that's a problem. I think the Lions will be able to put up some points here. If you made me bigger against the spread here, I'm taking the Packers.
Yep.
I don't love doing it, but I think that's the side that covers. And if you make me, because the other thing, we've seen a bunch of overreactions to week one, and I missed on a few of them this week. And I feel like they were kind of obvious, but if the Packers beat the Saints in week one, this line isn't 11.5. It's like 15.5.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
If the Lions lose by 17 to the 49ers, which is entirely possible. I don't think there's necessarily value at 11.5, but I'm just not going to take the points of the Lions. I would take the over, I think, if anything here.
Yeah, see, I go back and forth on it just because I don't know what we're going to see from the Lions here. Like, yes, they theoretically could put up points, but their offense to me, it's, again, like I said, there's nobody that's really stretching the field. We're talking about, TJ Hawkinson being the number one receiver, and we're talking about the running backs here. That's a lot of dink and dunk, no explosive plays, And if all of a sudden Green Bay comes out to a lead, they can really lean on Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon to just churn clock and really, you know, not feel super threatened that Detroit can come over the top and start scoring a ton of these points in a hurry. Again, we saw it a little bit last week, but to me, that's more of an outlier. So I look at this scenario where I kind of envision where Green Bay gets out to somewhat of an early lead, leans on the run, and really has no threat from Detroit to really do anything crazy by putting up points because they're just going to be throwing to their running backs and tight ends.
Yeah, and if there's a – you can also live bet the over if you want to see – maybe it starts slowly or second half over where Green Bay has a lead. They won't be throwing it as much, but I don't think they'll completely stop throwing it. And the Lions offensive line is good enough that they'll protect Jared Goff and they can get move the ball down the field. So I don't hate the idea of maybe taking a stab at the a live over if you prefer to wait. Sure. This is Monday Night Football, so we're going to be betting on it. It's just not attractive from the side of total perspective. I'm sure I'll find something where it's like a first half, like Packers first half or something of that nature. This is not an appealing game to bet on.
Right, because, it's just what we saw a week ago. Green Bay does not really give you any confidence other than their reputation to really go in and cover this and light it up on the scoreboard. To me, you're just kind of banking on, well, it is Aaron Rodgers. You know, he did win the MVP. They still have Davante Adams. They still have all these guys, even though there was nothing in that performance in week one to make you think, okay, I have so much confidence in this. I'm laying the points. It's totally fine. You're just going on history here, and that's not necessarily that fun, especially when you're going up against a team like Detroit, who we also just saw do it. You know, it was admittedly ridiculous, but they were able to cover in that game the last week. So
yeah, and it's look, not fun. Just because we don't have, I mean, I know this is the gambling preview, and we're like, man, I don't know what I would do with this game. Like, that's okay. You don't have to bet again. I would lean towards the Packers and the over. Yeah. Probably means it's the Lions and the unders, the bet. But, I mean, you don't have to bet on the side in total. That's why the beauty of player props, which we're going to talk about after the break, there's so many options to have action on a game without actually betting the side of the total. So, coming up after the break, player props.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So, there are, for the way I look at this, I've already bet some of these player props because I think they're going to move up a little bit. I bet some overs, and they're essentially correlated in the sense that in my opinion, you're going to look at this box score for Green Bay and for the Saints in week one. A.J. Dillon, 4 carries. Aaron Jones, 5 carries. A.J. Dillon, 19 yards. Aaron Jones, 9 yards. They didn't do anything. It was against a good run defense, and it was a team that was down 38-3. Aaron Rodgers threw 28 times, and they just gave up. You know, they just quit. They weren't going to run the ball. They weren't going to waste their starters. So now we go and look at these rushing yards options for these guys and also rushing attempts. A.J. Dillon is the play here because if the Packers get a big lead without Jamal Williams, who's now on the Lions, by the way, Jamal Williams revenge game, I guess, here tonight. I don't think that they're going to feed Aaron Jones in the running game. I think they're going to feed A.J. Dillon in the run game if they have any kind of a lead whatsoever. 38.5 feels very low to me for his rushing yard total. Was it 2 units? Was it rushing yards over?
I think it was rushing yards, yeah. And honestly, you know, you look at last year, you got to remember what we saw in week two last year, Packers, Lions, it was Aaron Jones rushing for 168 yards on the ground. I mean, again, is Aaron Jones going to do that? Probably not. Is A.J. Dillon going to do that? Probably not. But we're talking about a defense that's not great against the run. You have, you know, both running backs are able to put up some significant numbers here. So to me, there is a history to point to. Again, doesn't necessarily come from week one, but what we saw, you know, in the relative recent history that you can run on this defense. And
also, Elijah Mitchell ran 19 times for 104 yards against the Lions in week one.
Right.
Raheem Mostert had two carries for 20 yards before he got hurt. This is a team that you can run on this Lions defense. Mm-hmm. And the Packers are going to want to run, and they're going to want to use the run game to establish play action. AJ Dillon's carries number is
8.5,
and it's plus money. That is a smash for me.
Yeah.
So I want the Packers. And see, here's the thing. You could get there, whether it's they come out and feed the running game early to score, or whether Rodgers lights them up and then they pound the ball in the second half. That total should be – that rushing attempt number should be closer to 11.5, I think. And the rushing yard total for A.J. Dillon should be closer to 45.5. So I like both of those a ton.
I think the only thing that's scaring some people away from the Dillon 8.5 is that he's only had double-digit carries, I believe, once or twice in his career. Again, he's in a totally different role this year. He was, you know, he was a rookie last year. He was behind Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. So it's like it's totally different now. But I think if you're looking at it, you're almost looking at – it's weird to say, but you're looking at a career night if he gets double-digit carries, as weird as that sounds, because he's only really done it once.
But that's fine, but that's the perfect time to play off of.
Exactly. Exactly,
you know,
why.
We look at these games, and you know, if we're making projections about what's going to happen, typically speaking, the sports books are going to build out these props based on historical. They're not building this out based on what they think is going to happen here. They're basing it on okay, you know, looking at the math models. Here's what Dillon has done. You know, what does Detroit allow? I don't see a path where if the Packers are favored by 11.5. And the total is 48.5. How is there a path where there's only 24 carries for the Green Bay running backs? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It should be closer to 30. So I don't even really mind the over on Aaron Jones. I'm just worried if the Packers throw early, they might be dumping the ball to Aaron Jones, or like using Aaron Jones in the passing game, and then be like, all right, Aaron Jones is getting out. AJ Dillon, we're going to feed him. Let's melt the clock, and then we'll bring in – I mean, you know, bring in somebody else, and I'm trying to think who the third string running back is there. I guess it's Hill. Yeah, so maybe you bring in Hill and mop up duty in the fourth quarter. But if that's the case, then at that point, you've gotten enough out of A.J. Dillon. And that's sort of the logic that I'm using to get there.
Right, and that's kind of the same scenario that I'm looking at when I like Aaron Jones' reception total over 2.5. I mean, it to me, that is another smash play there, because he has that role now. Jamal Williams, again, is on the Lions. That was his role a year ago. We're only going to see more from Aaron Jones. And, he had two targets. I think he caught both of them last week, but it was a complete clunker of a game for Green Bay. That's not indicative of what it's going to be for the rest of the season. We were all drafting Aaron Jones in the first round. He was a top five running back in terms of all of these rankings because of this role that he is going to adopt. We just haven't seen it yet, but he is going to be involved in this passing game. So to me, over 2.5 receptions is an all-day bet for me.
I also like the over 2.5 receptions. I think he's probably closer to 3, maybe 4. And again, it depends. I think there's more risk here just because if for some reason the Packers get a 21-0 lead, I don't think they'll be dumping the ball to Aaron Jones. But I also believe that the Packers will be interested in – I don't think they want to just win 21-0.
Yeah.
You know, people, they got ripped for that game against the Saints, and they've been stewing on it for a week, and they're at home, and they're not going to want a situation where they get conservative, they're up 21-0, and all of a sudden the Lions score, you know, two quick times, and they're up 7, and they're in danger of losing this game because they messed around. I would expect they put the pedal to the gas until we have a four score, and again, a hypothetical four score lead or something like that.
Well, this will support that too. And this is, I put this in one of my lotto, you know, props, but it's not the lotto prop. But if you look at Aaron Rodgers, I believe his touchdown pass total is 2.5 right now. But if you go back last year in all of Green Bay's losses, the next game, Aaron Rodgers is averaging 4 passing touchdowns per game. So, you know, again, he was an MVP last year. It was unbelievable. But in losses, the games after losses, Aaron Rodgers was averaging 4 passing touchdowns per game. So to your point, they like to go pedal to the metal after these losses to make a statement to say, hey, no, we've righted the ship. We're back. This is what we're doing. So to me, that's another one to keep an eye on there. Again, you're asking him to throw 3 touchdowns. It's not, you know, this is no small
you don't play any juice on it, too.
Exactly. So to me, that one, you know, again, goes under what you're saying. They want to make a statement, and we've even seen that from them previously.
Yeah. And again, he's a reigning MVP. He's being mocked for Jeopardy. Oh, Jeopardy all off season, hanging with his girlfriend, eating edibles in California. Like, and now he just can't play football anymore. I mean, you know, typically if you do that to Aaron Rodgers, he's going to come back with a blowtorch and remind you why he is one of the greatest of all time. I also believe, and so this is, I have the Aaron Jones over receptions. I'm with you there. DeAndre Swift over receiving yards. This is a 2-unit bet for me as well. 29.5. What am I missing here?
Right. And honestly, we could say the same thing with Jamal Williams too. That's another one that I love too. It's 18.5. Like we're talking about those two guys and TJ Hawkinson. That's the passing game.
Do you know how many targets Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift had last week combined?
What was it? 18, 19?
20.
Jeez.
20 targets and Hawkinson at 11. Golf through 57 times. Again, the 49ers are so 49ers are basically Green Bay light, or Green Bay is basically 49ers light, right? Matt LaFleur comes from the Kyle Shanahan tree. Like he was Kyle Shanahan, you know, this is where he came from. They're going to try and do the same thing. They're going to run the ball a ton, try to get this lead. And then the Lions, I mean, it sets up similarly. The Lions are going to be likely playing from behind. They are likely going to be dumping it off, as you pointed out several times, to Hawkinson, to Swift, to Jamal Williams. Swift had 8 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown last week. He's fantastic in the receiving game. There is no reason that this line is so low. It should be closer to, honestly, 35.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you with Jamal Williams, too. Again, 8 catches last week, I believe he had. So to me, these guys are just going to be heavily involved. This is exactly what we're looking at. And again, is it one of those where we're just, you know, we're banking on them completely just getting shut out? Like that's the only other way that I can see them not being involved as heavily as they should be.
Right. But that's the beauty of this particular team.
Yeah.
This isn't just a crappy football team. It's a crappy football team coached by Dan Campbell. They are going to give you effort every week for at least the first half of the season. This is not some team that's just going to shut it down and call the dogs off. Dan Campbell wants to show that he wants to hustle and try hard. And people are praising the Lions for the backdoor cover last week, even though they were really getting blown out, like obliterated. And then it got a little frisky at the end. So they're gonna keep throwing the ball, but there's no one to throw to down the field. So they're gonna be pressured. So they're gonna dump it off to the tight end of the running back. Maybe I'm missing something. You know, if they get a lead, if they're beating the Packers 21-0. Then all this is out the window, except for the Aaron Jones receptions. That'll be an easy cover
for sure.
The 3 points. But you know, if all that happens, then you could certainly see, a change in that. But I just think this DeAndre Swift over is a smash. I am tempted by the TJ Hawkinson receiving yards total. I actually don't. You know, it was weird. Hawkinson isn't on William Hill right now. I don't know why.
It's probably, you know, I couldn't tell you why.
No, I don't know why either. I don't think he's on the injury report or anything like that. He just doesn't. I looked all over. You don't need to look. He's not there. You can control F and Debo's. You can watch on youtube.com/pick6. I see his over under at 56.5. I'm really tempted by that.
Yeah, I still like that.
It's probably right in line with what it should be, or maybe a little bit even higher, but there's no way in hell I'm getting in front of this under, because if the game script plays out the way we think it will, it's going to involve Hawkinson catching a ton of passes. Okay, Let's go to DraftKings. No, I'm not leaving the site. Oh, yeah, I am leaving the site.
I'll tell you really quickly, though, the one, if we're doing the lotto ones, those really reach back, see what you can do with a prop. TJ Hockenson plus 200 anytime touchdown. If you want to do first Lions touchdown, I think he's plus 450. So, those, like we were just saying with him, again, he's going to be the guy when we get, when they get into the red area, that's somebody to keep an eye on there. And again, that 451, it's Lions touchdown. So even if Green Bay, decides to, wins the coin toss and marches down the field with Rodgers, you still have that chance if the Lions get in the end zone somehow.
I forgot my lotto prop. I have anytime touchdown for A.J. Dillon. I'm all in on A.J. Dillon this week.
Yeah, I like it.
Look at the 49ers stats. That scheme against the Lions. You're getting the same scheme, but same scheme, good offensive line. And A.J. Dillon, if he's the guy who's getting the carries in the second half, we saw the 49ers, Elijah Mitchell, one touchdown, Jermichael Hasty, one touchdown. Mostert probably would have scored if he hadn't gotten hurt. So and Sermon, if he hadn't been inactive, probably would have gotten a touchdown too. A.J. Dillon, anytime touchdown is, 3-1?
Yeah, I think he said 3-1 in the email. Yeah,
it's down to plus 290 now. I also did this already. I have a worse number, but sprinkle on A.J. Dillon, 2 touchdowns, 20-1.
Ooh.
So half a unit on one touchdown and then a quarter of a unit on 2 touchdowns or a full unit and whatever you want to do. Just don't bet them evenly because the 2 touchdowns less likely to hit than the single one. By the way, we should point out, Sully, that was it last Thursday?
Which one are you pointing?
Oh, yeah. The Giants and the Washington football
Thursday.
I had a little swag. I thought I was going to win $1 million for a hot minute. I ended up winning $40, but I was 3 points off the Millie Maker because I entered that contrarian. What if this is a shootout? Daniel Jones goes ham lineup. And you have to have everything perfect to have it happen. But, and this is not me bragging about winning $40. This is me pointing out that, When we build these lineups, it's okay to believe one thing is going to happen in the game, but be prepared to plan for something else. Everyone was on the defenses. If you had the defenses, you didn't make any money.
Yeah.
If you had Daniel Jones and all these guys, then you probably ended up raking in the cash. Let's see if we can figure out something for the game tonight. Share my screen here, Debo. All right, let's see. All right, so the showdown set up.
The chalky plays are going to be, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, even Aaron Jones to a certain degree when we're talking about captains. So, again, chalk's fine sometimes. We're obviously coming off the heels of a crazy, Washington, New York game. But you can go chalk in these scenarios as well, especially if we believe this game's going to unfold how we think it is.
Absolutely. So here's the concern about this is if you want to go with Devontae Adams or Aaron Rodgers as your captain, you need to be a little worried about what happens if the Packers just, I have no problem with either one of those guys as your captain, but you're going to have to find some unique builds down on the bottom end. I think it's kind of, again, just to lean into how I think this game is going to play out, where the Packers get a big lead and they lean on the running game in the second half, because there's a chance. So I'm going to make A.J. Dillon my captain because there's a chance, Sully, that you get a bunch of points from Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams in the first half. You feel like you're rolling, and then the Packers just lean into the ground game. And if they do that, you can still win. I mean, it's hard to know what the ultimate, the optimal lineup will be. Yeah. But if A.J. Dillon ends up being the guy that they just feed in the second half of this game, you're going to want to have him in your roster. And if you put him in your roster, I believe that you can go Aaron Jones. So then what we're going to do if we do that, you can just do anything you want. If you do A.J. Dillon as your captain.
You can really move around.
Off Hockenson. Oh, you can't do Hockenson. Wow. I'm an idiot. You can't do math.
You can do.
I'm going to take out Aaron Jones. And we're going to put in Hockenson. I'm sort of tempted to do Swift here. You can't afford Swift either there. But you can afford, where's my man Quintez Cephas? Damn.
Let me see.
Here's what you could do too. You toss in Kylan Hill. And the idea being that this team is just going to, they're going to score early with Adams and Rodgers. and then they're just going to feed the running backs, the backup running back, or the you know, Hill and Dylan late, and then you want Hockenson and Goff coming back because those are the guys they're just going to dump off to. And I'd like to have Swift in there. You could create a
I just did one on the fly real quick where Dylan's the captain. You have Adams, Cephas, Hockenson, Rogers, Swift. Like you can fit that if you
go on Goff and you go with Cephas.
And then you can fit in Swift and still have Hockenson. So you're still you're limiting yourself with the quarterbacks, but you can go that route if you really want to get Swift in.
There you go. I like that. There you go. Yeah. So I mean that's one of those builds that I think would be a little bit more unique in the sense that you're not gonna have I don't think you're gonna have a ton of AJ Dillon as the captain.
No. That is a big time sleeper captain pick.
I also think, Sully, that it is not out of the realm of possibility that Jared Goff at $10,000, that's his flex spot, that Jared Goff at $15,000 is a viable captain here. Or if you want, you can go back to and go Hockenson or Swift as your captain, with the idea being that build an alliance as a captain, and what we are looking for is not the Lions to roll, but the Packers to get a lead and the Lions to pile up points in the second half. And you've got a captain who's your captain is in chase mode and you are getting a ton of points because they're winging it around. So if we go Goff as a captain, Hockenson, Swift, can we then get I was looking at it wrong. It's 566. We're going to need to go with somebody cheap. Obviously we'll go AJ Dillon there. So we get 7,000 per. Can't do Rodgers and Adams. Let's ditch Hockenson and just say that they do. Can we do Adams, Rodgers? Yep. And then you can add, and then you get a 200 guy. We'll go back to my guy, Kylan Hill. Yeah. I don't mind that either. This is a points chasing game, right?
Right.
So we're hoping Rodgers and Adams hook up early and often. And then you have Dylan, Kylan Hill running downhill late and Jared Goff just dumping off to Swift. And I guess you cannot go Hockenson there instead, but you get the point. To me, those are the builds that you want to do. There's also, if you want to go full Batman and get nuts, Sully.
it helped a little last week. So.
Lions blow it out. I don't even know what the build would be for the Lions blowing it out.
Goff would have to be your guy, your captain. And then, right. I don't see a scenario where Hockenson is not scoring. So
let's say you go Swift and then Jamal Williams. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. So why don't they reset to the captain when I do that? It's very annoying. So you go Swift, Jamal Williams. So in other words, the Lions are running the football effectively against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And what about this? You got to squeeze in the Lions defense because they are shutting Aaron Rodgers down. And do we want?
I can guarantee you nobody will have this lineup.
Yes, it'll be unique for sure. So Rodgers is chasing. So we got to have Aaron Jones. And then we get Valdes-Scantling. So for whatever reason, the Lions are able to lock down Devontae Adams. Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I got you.
And Rodgers just throwing it deep late and chasing points. This is a it looks terrible, but nobody's going to have it. And maybe the Packers do suck.
I guess we haven't really dove into that too much, right? I guess there is a scenario where they lost it. You know, this whole offseason was crazy. They're just totally out of sync and they are just not going to be a good football team. They're going to be one of these teams that take a step back. Not out of the realm of possibility. I actually could even see that happening in the general sense of the season, just not in this game. Like, you know, we're talking about a team that was in the NFC Championship. What was it? Two straight years? Three straight years? Whatever.
26-6 over the last 2 years. I don't like this build.
Yeah.
But I am gonna have a. Now, the other thing too about this build is you could, in theory, you know, this could work even if the Packers win or they score by going to Jones and Valdes-Scantling, and then it's Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift just catching a bunch of dump-off passes from Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to get rid of the Lions defense probably and find something else if that's the case, but you get the point. Those are the unique builds that sometimes you want to look at. Any other thoughts about DFS, any other deep sleepers down the list? Like I said, I think Kylan Hill qualifies. He's the stone cold minimum on DraftKings at $200. You put him in there. If he's getting run in the second half, he can pay off that really easily.
I think Cephas is somebody to keep an eye on. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, it's, you know, they were going crazy last week, but seven targets. I think a lot of people are not paying too much attention because he only caught three passes for 12 yards, but seven targets, and he also caught a touchdown.
And Tyrell Williams is out.
Something to think about there, and he's not that expensive at all. $3,800. Like, you can, he's somebody that you can fit in when you're trying to get all these heavy hitters in. Like, if you want a, let me see, if you want like a Davante Adams as your guy, he's the highest price. Like, you, Cephas should be in there as well because you can fit him in rather easily. It fits it in.
The other guy that I think is at least worth discussing really quickly, we'll get out of here, at $6,000, Jordan Love. If the Packers were to be up 28-0 at halftime or 28-0 at the end of the third quarter, Jordan Love is probably coming in. Now, it's probably all garbage time. But if you happen to, you know, if you want to build a Packers bludgeon Lions, it's 35-0 at halftime. Jordan Love's probably playing most of the second half. Now, he's going to hand off to A.J. Dillon and Kylan Hill. But, you know, just worth the thought process. Because remember, they put him in there even when they were getting beat last week. All right, let's get out of here. That was a good look at it. This is a potentially fun game. There should be lots of points. But it's also a potential blowout. Maybe the Lions just blow out the Packers too. Who knows? Sully, as always, buddy, a pleasure to talk TFS and props and gambling with you. Let's go win some money.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.